We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Host of Radio.com's Bet Sweats, Joe Ostrowski, Knights on the Score.
You'd probably be floored. A crappy Thursday night football game, Jaguars and Dolphins. If we were to compare the money bet on that game against Lakers and Nuggets last night, it's not even close.
The best gambling analyst in the country. Want to bet?
I'm Jordan with the mic. Want to gamble?
Joe Ostrowski on the Lawrence Holmes Show right damn now.
We love Joe on this show. He's great. He knows what's going on inside the sports betting world. You can check out his show, Bet Sweats, every day, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 on the radio.com app and the Early Odds Show Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. He is terrific, and he joins me now here on The Score. What's up, Joe?
What's up, Lawrence? We had your guy Michael Felder on this morning on the latest Bet Sweats. He's fantastic with these breakdowns over some of the big college games we've got on the docket tomorrow.
He's so good. I think he's one of the best football analysts in America, man. That guy pours over tape. Like, he's so good. I got to get him on the show soon. That's a good reminder for me to get him back on the show to break down the, because I did ask him, I was like, could you break down some bear stuff for me? So I want him to talk about it, some of this stuff the air.
Ask him about Mike Leach. Go ahead. He hates him. He hates Mike Leach. Well, he made that clear.
Apparently a lot of other people down there in Mississippi hate him too, because there's a bunch of kids that are leaving that program in droves down there in Mississippi. So that's something I will ask him to do. I wanted to ask you before we talk football. I want to know, was there any sort of change in the White Sox odds by them hiring Tony La Russa, either good or bad? Like, was there a move that maybe they're a better betting favorite now than they were when Ricky was managing the team?
Man, there were a lot of people that got mad at me because as it was starting to heat up, some of the traction, the conversation about this, and I put it out there. I'm like, hey, I had planned on betting the White Sox to win the World Series because I truly thought that they're going to win it over the next couple of years. If they do this, they'll be saving me some money because I will not be betting on the White Sox to win the World Series in 2021. People got really upset with me. But as far as movement in the odds, nope, not much at all. And I think that actually does mean something. And I'll explain in a second. Over at PointsBet to win the World Series, the White Sox are the sixth favorite. They are 11-1. And you can look at some of the other legal books in Illinois. You'll find about 14-1 at FanDuel, 15-1 over at DraftKings. And in the American League Central, they are co-favorites with the Twins, just over even money. It's +130 for both of those teams to win the division. And PointsBet already has win totals out. Believe that or not, they already have win totals. What they decided to do is they put out winning percentage. So they put out 55.9 win percentage, just in case, obviously.
Just in case it's not a 162-game season.
Exactly, which is smart. So that's equivalent to 90.5 wins they put on the White Sox pre-free agency and pre-whatever other news is going to change. I'm sure we'll get some rule changes going into next season. But I think no change is noteworthy, Lawrence, because the Chicago teams are always public teams. Remember before the season started that all this money was coming in on the White Sox. People were going crazy about the White Sox winning the World Series, the possibility there. And news moves markets, whether we're talking about every single week in the NFL or any sport. At the trade deadline, what was going on with the Padres futures after they made their trades? Wild, wild swings. So I do think it's noteworthy. A now public team, a very popular team, the White Sox. People are all excited about it. In Vegas, there are so many Chicago fans. We have legal books here and no movement, even though it's a manager. And even if you believe that their impact is maybe a game or two, usually there's some buzz. There's some steam there and there's nothing.
Wow. That is... I honestly, Joe, when I asked you about that, I was expecting you to say that the White Sox odds got better. And wow, to the fact that it hasn't moved, that's interesting to me. I'm going to have to sit with that over the weekend and really think about what that means.
There were some bookmakers in Vegas texting me, Lawrence, and they're like, what the hell are they doing? Why? Isn't anybody in the organization willing to stand up to Jerry and say this is a bad idea? And I had to explain it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I keep wondering too, because you can't do this. You can really only do it once. I do wonder, could Kenny and or Rick have been like, it's us or him? Like, did they feel like, because if you were ever going to pull, because you can only do it once, because you got to be ready to walk away, because they will tell you it's them and not you. I wonder if that was even something that they would have had in their quiver of things to do. Be like, if they felt so strongly about it. And from watching Rick, you're like, he clearly wasn't enthusiastic about this. Like, if you felt so strongly about it, that was the time to pull that arrow out of the quiver. And if they didn't, and maybe we'll find out in a few days that they did, and guys retire or walk away and need a year off or whatever, then maybe we'll get our answer. But if they felt strongly about it, that would have been a tactic that I would have used.
I thought the message was sent yesterday with the decision that was made. And if it was clear that not everybody was on board, he didn't care. Or you're not in the circle like you thought you were in the circle. Tony is. And maybe right now some people are out. Something else I was thinking about over the last couple of days, Lawrence, is that it wasn't that long ago when the narrative in this town, and maybe it was true, maybe it wasn't, was that they would never, ever do a rebuild because of the reaction to the fans. The White Sox fan base would never stand for that. That was wrong. That was proven wrong. And they've spent the last few years telling us, no, it's Rick's team. Rick's calling the shots. Now that is back. We're back to it, not Kenny versus Rick. Now it's Jerry versus everybody else until proven otherwise. But even if they do prove, we'll have this to go back to for the next however long we want to go back to. But the other part of that is, the fan base made it clear how they felt about this over the last 3 weeks. Didn't care. Didn't care at all.
I think you're right about that. Joe Ostrowski joining me here. We're talking about the betting world, the sports world, the Chicago world. Before I ask you about the Bears, what's going on with these line swings in the NFL?
Oh, this is interesting. And it actually will lead us to the Bears conversation and what you were just talking about with JJ in the last segment about whether or not Nick Foles is going to be passing a lot. By the way, we this second appearance of the week, we nailed Monday. We were explaining to everyone why this line was up close to a touchdown and that Nick Foles is going to have a lot of passing attempts and the Bears are going to get gashed on the ground. And that's exactly what happened as the Rams racked up 161 yards. In rushing yards, but the totals is what's fascinating this week because it's the first week of the NFL season. It is a big weather week, So that's why I'm not sure if we're going to see a lot of passing, or if we do, it's all going to be some short stuff. So the totals are moving. Bears Saints at one point this week early on was 47. We are all the way down to 43 and a half. That is a ton in the NFL market. 47 to 43 and a half. Why? Sustained winds expected of 25 miles per hour and gusts up to 40 miles per hour. Those numbers exactly the same with Vegas Cleveland, and the total went from 55 and a half down to 51. Minnesota Green Bay, total 55 and a half, also down to 51. So I'm wondering how low this is going to go. Like, if you're hearing this thing, wow, gusts up to 40 miles per hour, I'm going to jump on the under. I would hold off. At this point, you've already missed the move. Let's see what the conditions are when we wake up on Sunday and they start going to the stadiums. We start to see some of the beat reporters talking about it on Twitter, radio, TV, and all that stuff. But we've seen some big 4-5 point moves in these totals because of the wind. And that is something to move forward as sports bettors to think about, because wind matters. Snow doesn't matter that much, but people freak out. They see it on TV, under, I'm betting, doesn't matter as much. Same thing with rain. And if you're thinking about turnovers, sometimes those turnovers create short fields, which leads to some scoring. So you can argue either way with rain, but wind matters. And that's why the sharper bettors that get down early in the week moved all these numbers.
Wow. Okay. I mean, that makes sense. Like, and I think that a lot of Bears fans can look at it and be like, oh, well, they're a dome team and they're in the South or whatever. And it's going to be 36 degrees on Sunday with a lot of wind, which is going to make it feel worse, considering that you're right on top of the lake. All of those things are going to be in play. But then I go back to looking at what the Saints do well. They run the ball with Alvin Kamara well, and the Bears struggling to stop the run. On the flip side of that, the Saints defense stops the run, but gives up a lot of stuff in the pass game. And I don't know if the Bears are equipped to do it if in those conditions. I haven't heard anyone really talk about like arm strength with Foles. And I'm not talking about a guy can wing it 65 yards in perfect conditions. Does he have enough zip to bust through a windy day at Soldier Field? And I'm not sure about that.
Brees doesn't, right?
He definitely doesn't. Not at this point.
Not at this point anymore. When I was first looking at this game, now, first off, let's talk about the line movement on the point spread. So on Monday at this time, when we were talking, there was a line up for Bears-Saints before the Bears played on Monday night. It was Saints -2.5. Bears play, situation changes. Everyone's down on the Bears. It was an embarrassing performance by the Bears. So when they repost the lines on late Monday night, Tuesday morning, they put it at 3.5, which is a big move. Going through the key number of 3, the most key number in NFL betting, and putting it at 3.5. And now we've gotten information news throughout the week, and it has continued to tick up, Lawrence. Right now, the Saints are favored by 5. With the total of 43.5. And part of that was the news that came out yesterday. Michael Thomas returns to practice for the Saints. So there's a possibility that he's going to play. Allen Robinson in the concussion protocol. Bears are coming off a short week. Khalil Mack did not practice yesterday. Cody Whitehair, it sounds like he might miss the game. And you have an undrafted free agent that could be taking his spot in an offensive line that is already performing very poorly. Overs for the Saints have come in. 6-0 this year. Unders and Bears games, they can't score. They play defense. They're 5-2. So the total is going to be interesting. You brought up the Saints run going up against the Bears D, which allows a lot of explosive runs. New Orleans is number 2 in the NFL in rushing success rate, and they are top 10 in rushing DVOA. So that's a possibility. The Saints have allowed 17 passing touchdowns, nearly 3 per game. I'm really torn.
And they're terrible in the red zone, like horrendous, yeah, in the red zone.
So early in the week, Lawrence, I was thinking, man, everybody's selling their Bears stock. That defense is going to come out, and I think they're going to give a pretty strong performance. We won't see as many penalties. I would lean to trusting the defense. But as we hear about Allen, how are they going to score points, man? The team totals at 19.5, 20. How are the Bears going to score points? A-Rob, they weren't even targeting him on Monday night. He finished with four, but it took a while before he got any targets. So here's how I'm looking at this game. When the props aren't out yet, but you've got to look at Alvin Kamara, Latavius Murray overs. Look at what those numbers are at. And then also this Saints defense, they've allowed six touchdowns to tight ends in six games. We know the Bears target Jimmy Graham, so Jimmy Graham to score a touchdown could be a prop worth looking at, or maybe even Cole Kmet. Maybe Matt Nagy is going to follow through on his promise and he's actually going to see more time in the field.
He should. That, there's no reason for him not. It'd be one thing if Demetrius Harris was playing well. But
we shouldn't be talking about him, but we have to.
We have to. And the bizarre choices of, oh, red zone? Jimmy Graham, get on out of here. What? That's the whole point of having that guy. And to my surprise, because I was critical of the move, he's done that. Like, Jimmy Graham's been good. He's been good in the red zone. So why in the world would you take him out? There's a lot. There is a lot to try and digest when it comes to this game. It's going to be a lot of fun. Joe, as always, I appreciate your time. Thanks for the information. Some texters have already popped through and been like, you really helped them. So that's good news. That's good news when we have an expert that's helping people out. Early odds tomorrow. What do you got?
Happy to hear. Yeah, there's a lot going on. There are so many games that I love, Lawrence. I know we don't have time, but listen tomorrow morning, 8 to 9 a.m. I'll be here for an hour. We'll be breaking down all the games. Man, Ravens and Steelers is going to be so much fun coming up on Sunday. There's like six games that I really, really like. And one of them is going to be that horrendous NFC East game between the Eagles and Cowboys. They're down to QB3.
They are. And if they win the game, they're in first place.
The Eagles are favored by 10, Lawrence.
They should be. Because I think that Cowboys team is getting real close to quitting. Like, they showed you a little bit last week, and I think you're going to see it on display this week. They're about to be like, oh, yeah, it's going to look like that defense against Todd Gurley last week. That's what you're going to see with the Cowboys this week. They cut Don Terry Poe, sent him out of town. Like, there's a lot there for sure. Joe, have a great weekend, and I hope that you make some money.
Do the same, Lawrence. Have a good rest of the show.
That is Joe Ostrowski. You can check him out tomorrow on The Score at 8 a.m. on Early Odds. When we come back, I want to give Herbie some room to talk about this. He has his own podcast that he and Tanny do called Locked on Sox, but I'm taking some of that content. Herb Lawrence on the White Sox picking a new manager. Next here on the
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Gore.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
There's a lot of great new information, a lot of great ways that you can improve how you either coach up or prepare. The difference is that once the games start, there is no formula that can measure the head, heart, and guts of a player that day or even before. So what I believe you have to do is you have to invest your manager and your coaches in the ability to react to what they, you know, and I use the term observational analytics, you know, what you observe.
TWTW, the will to win.
It does have a TWTW feel to it. Thing is that I don't even necessarily disagree with him on some of that stuff. I think that he might go a little too far in the opposite direction, but we'll see. I mean, that's something that has to be figured out once the games get played. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. We've been talking, along with talking about the Bears, we've been talking about the White Sox hiring Tony La Russa. The great thing about doing this show with Herb Lawrence is that he is someone who cares, I would say, maybe even more about the White Sox than I do. And so to get his opinion on White Sox stuff is pretty great, and I can add it to my own. He does the Locked on Sox podcast. If you have not subscribed to it, you need to. He and Chris Tannehill do an incredible job with that podcast, and I think today you guys are dropping Rick Hahn had a bad day at work. Is that right, Herbie?
That is correct. It's going to be great.
It was the episode yesterday I thought was great. I want to know, now that you've had 24 hours to think about it, how do you feel about this move?
I think it's still terrible. As I said last night, it would have been bad to hire A.J. Hinch, in my opinion. I would have been mad about it. But it would have matched the words of Rick Hahn, and it would have matched the actions. You fired Rick Renteria because he doesn't embrace analytics, in-game analytics. Same thing with Don Cooper. You want to get a guy with recent championship experience, and then I know it's not his fault, but he has the job. So you got usurped by your manager, by your owner. The fact that you're still there means it's on you too. So,
that's right.
So either you quit or you get along with the program. And it didn't look like he was getting along with the program yesterday. So this is still a bad move. And I am a guy, and you know that guy, Nick Shepkowski, always get me on my words and taking out a couple and saying, I say that managers don't matter. I think managers do matter off the field. When the game is going, I think it's very little, very negligible what a manager can do as opposed to another one. So the culture that is already created there, he doesn't need to go in there and mess it up with his old school methods and thinking that he's the boss with his chest puffed out. I'm Hall of Famer Tony La Russa. Those guys don't know who he is. They've heard of him. But as I pointed out yesterday, only three guys were alive on the 2020 White Sox when Tony was last here as the manager in 86. They know him, but also they don't know him. Respect is earned. And so he can't just be coming in there with his credentials. He's got to come in there and adjust himself to what the culture is and then bring whatever his expertise in to that. Not the other way around. Those guys don't need to adjust to what he is, because I think Dan and you were talking about, it's a different game. Players are more empowered now. You're not going to be threatening Tim Anderson about playing time. You're not going to be talking about, this is my clubhouse, this is my dugout. That type of garbage is done. That's over with. You need to acquiesce to what they are. And so I don't think this man is going to be like that. What does he have to win? What does he have to prove? He's already got three championships. He's already got the Hall of Fame. What is this doing for him? Why is this the driving force?
Well, I'll give him this. I actually thought that that was one of his better moments in the press conference when he was talking about not being on the field and saying that it hurt, this last decade for him to be watching the game, to be close to the game, but not really in the game because he wasn't able to do anything. He talked about a sense of like helplessness because he wasn't field managing anymore. But my thing is, no one was going to offer you that opportunity other than Jerry Reinsdorf to do that again. And maybe that's a sign. Maybe it's a sign that you shouldn't be back making the decisions on the field. And beyond the way that players have changed and the feeling around the game and the embrace of fun has changed around baseball, the rules have changed. And I'm not saying that he can't adapt to those things, but he's a big – you talk to people who love baseball, they'll tell you that they hate Tony La Russa for the way that he handled bullpens and that – what he started, that revolution that he started, has led us to these 4.5-hour games that we're seeing. Is he going to be able to handle the new environment if they continue to do the three-batter minimum? If they continue to do that, can he handle that? Can he wrap his arm around that? Is he going to push guys harder than what they're accustomed to doing? And can his way of managing work? I think those are all legitimate baseball questions when trying to figure out if this was a good move or not.
And Tanny brought up a great point. Remember how Robin Ventura had to be convinced that this job would be hit for him? It feels similar. It wasn't Tony reaching out to Jerry and saying, hey, man, really love to get back in the game. It was Jerry and his overtures, as Rick Hahn said. And then Tony's like, okay, let's do it. Reached out to Dave Duncan and started getting ready. It wasn't like, man, I have been ready for 11 years. I messed up by retiring after the World Series in 2011. After about 5 years, man, I was itching to get back. I'm glad Jerry got me the opportunity. No, convincing this guy. How about having people who actually want the job initially that are hot commodities? No one else would have hired Tony La Russa. No other team. Only the White Sox. And it's old White Sox garbage that we thought we had passed by. But no, it's right back in here on our laps.
You know, you pointed it out, and we have the cut. You pointed it out on the Locked On Sox podcast. If you were in a press conference, what's supposed to be kind of a celebratory press conference, if in that press conference, the guy that you're supposed to be celebrating has to talk about how he's not a racist, that's a bad thing.
At the same time, you know, I do believe if you check White Sox, A's and the Cardinals, I can name you, you know, at least, you know, the White Sox, whether it's Chet Lemon or Junior Moore or Harold Baines, and you go to the A's with Dave Stewart, Dave Henderson, Ricky Henderson, Dave Parker, you go to St. Louis with Ray Lanford, Brian Jordan, Reggie Sanders. I mean, I'll take my chance if you talk to any one of those people. There's not a racist bone in my body. I do not like injustice, and I would support exactly what I mentioned. Anything that's peacefully done and sincerely thought of, and especially with an action at the end of it, will not be a problem.
Notice that he didn't mention Ron Gant's name in there, or Royce Clayton, or Ozzie Smith in there.
I mean, he knows blacks. That's great. Congratulations, yes, Tony.
That was probably the worst moment of the press conference yesterday. And there were a lot of bad ones, but that was the worst moment where the guy has to trot out the list of black people that he knows. Let me tell you something. Man, do I know some black people. Why don't you go talk to those black people and put the onus on them to tell you that I'm not a racist?
And I know one thing that people who aren't racist say all the time, that they're not racist all the time. I say that every day when I
never
step
met
up to a
racist
person. Yes, that Danny put up with the Patrice O'Neill segment.
Yeah, that's a thing. But I noticed he didn't say Ron Gant. That was Texas. Like, yes, I'm the least racist person I know. If you say, quote, some of my best players were black, you might be a racist. That's right. Like, we got to get the Jeff Foxworthy thing out there now for him. Think, like, honestly, I want you to really, really think about this for a second. On the day that the White Sox announced their new manager for their team that they think has a chance to win the World Series, the guy who they put in front of a camera had to explain how he's not racist. And the proof that he offered was he managed black players.
And no one asked him if he's a racist. No one said, hey, Tony, are you a racist? Like, if he's answering that question, yes, you can offer, I am not racist.
But right. If it's a direct question, sir, for the record, are you a racist? Then you can be like, of course I'm not a racist. I love black people. Let me name three of them. Here's a whole bunch of them. He wasn't asked that question. He was asked some tough questions, though. He was asked about you know, when he started talking about protests, because he's had a big issue with Colin Kaepernick. And let me just tell you, I know that if you're thinking about this show and you're thinking about me hosting this show, that you might think that that's my biggest problem with Tony. It's not. It's truly not where I'm at with this. I just think that it's bad all the way around, and that's a component of it. But he was asked, like, what makes him the arbiter of gauging the sincerity of protests of players? Check out what he said.
The first priority every year is for staff and I to build a relationship of respect and trust with the team, and you want to get that family feeling. I know in 2016, when the first issue occurred, my initial instincts were all about, you know, respecting the flag and the anthem and the, you know, what America stands for. There's been a lot goes on in a very healthy way since 2016. And not only do I respect, but I applaud the awareness that's come into not just society, but especially in sports. If you talk
Kirby,
about
can we stop that right
baseball.
There? All right. I want to stop it right there. Because I felt like that when I was watching the press conference yesterday, I felt like that's where he should have shut up. I actually thought that that was a really good answer. And if he wanted to follow it up, he could have followed it up with, man, I've done some soul searching and I'm an old man, but I can change. And I'm finding out that I feel like right there, if I had the pause button on Tony La Russa, I would have paused him right there and be like, don't keep going. You did great. You did everything you needed to do with that answer. But then.
I applaud and would support the fact that they are now addressing, identifying the injustices, especially on the racial side. And as long as it's peacefully protested and sincere, and what I'm learning more and more, like with the Players Alliance, and especially with the White Sox, when your protests actually have action-oriented results, way that you're going to impact to make things better, I'm all for it.
Just so now you're the arbiter of whether someone is sincere, and if they don't put together an organization after calling out racial injustice, that is not sincere. Just could have hit the pause button, just right there in the middle. Could have hit the pause button, and he could have done like a blackjack dealer. Threw his hands up, be like, see? Yeah, that's exactly what I meant. But he kept going.
Like, so paternalistic, just like, hey, black, you can't be down on a knee. Let me see your mission statement. Let me see exactly what you plan on doing with it, the money you put onto this program, and then I'll accept it. It's a grown-ass man that he's got a Tim Anderson or Eloy's got to check in with the manager as
or
another
Lucas.
Grown man?
Like even Luke, like, yeah. You want to talk about the people who are outspoken on this team? It's your ace who's the most outspoken, on the team, and he's got to run it through the filter of Tony La Russa? Come on, fam. Come on. It's his clubhouse. But I think that he's going to find out that it might not be. And how they navigate that, I think, is going to be really interesting. And I've got some time. Like, I don't have to completely divest from this thing right now. So I'm looking forward to seeing how people react to it and the reading the Feagan piece in The Athletic, talking to some people that I talked to yesterday. Not great over there, folks. Things are not great over at 35th and Shields right now. Maybe once there is the energy of the guys that made this past season fun, that'll change. But I'm having a hard time with it. I'm going to take a break. When I come back, believe it or not, I am going to try to tell you a way that the Bears might be able. I have so many caveats. I'm going to try to tell you how they might be able to win this game against the Saints on Sunday. I will do that next here on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
So here's the latest from an injury standpoint with the Bears. Cody Whitehair is out of Sunday's game. That is a big blow. Allen Robinson is questionable, still inside the concussion protocol. Matt Nagy says if he clears the concussion protocol on Sunday afternoon, he is going to play. Neither Robinson nor Whitehair have practiced all week. Mac, it was back to practice this week, even though he had been going through some stuff. I actually think that at first glance, I was like, man, the Bears are matching up against this Saints team that's pretty good. I didn't like their chances, and I don't know if I feel confident enough to even bet the Bears, but I do think that there are opportunities in this game for the Bears, and it's going to be an issue of will they actually even have enough time to take advantage of it. The Saints' pass defense is bad. Their run defense is tremendous, and you know that the Bears struggle with running the ball. The elements might play to the advantage of the Saints on this one, because Alvin Kamara is really good at running the ball, and he's averaging almost 5 yards a carry. The Bears struggle with running the ball. They're going to have to get really creative with so many injuries on their offensive line. If they are going to pass, I would suggest that they run some two tight end sets and try to max protect as much as possible, even if you're doing just quick stuff, because I don't think the wind is going to allow you to go downfield big time. It's got to be quick hitter stuff, and there's got to be some run after the catch. You've got to see guys like Darnell Mooney make some plays, and Cordell Patterson get the ball in his hands as a receiver this week, and let's see what he does. If they don't win this game, there is going to be trouble in River City. I will be here for you on Monday for sure, win or loss. I'll talk with Parkins and Carrington next here on The Score.
Your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.